On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman, Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
This is CSN's Redskins Talk, presented by Commuter Connections. Here is your host, JP Finley.
What's up, everybody? JP Finley here. Another episode of Redskins Talk podcast right now. Thank you guys for listening. Obviously, a ton has happened over the last 4 days with the NFL draft. I think Skins fans have a lot of things to be excited about. A few question marks, but it starts with Jonathan Allen at the top of that draft, which if you listen or read to the stuff I say, I can't imagine a better pick for them at 17. It's truly a situation where need met the best player available, and it's a home run of a pick. The rest of the draft, there's plenty to like, but starting at the top at 17 is really pretty incredible. Before we get going here, I want to thank the good folks at Commuter Connections. A couple clicks is all it takes to share a ride to work when you want, where you want, for free. That's the key, free. CommuterConnections.org, 800-745-RIDE, or the app is Carpool Now. All right, so for today's podcast, I think this actually is going to work out pretty well. Rich Tandler and I, as we usually do, go through every draft pick the Redskins made. And so there's 10 picks. So Tandler and I talked for a while. But what we did is we did a Facebook Live and a Twitter Periscope event where we went through each pick, gave a grade, and really just broke down who the Skins took, why they took that person, and where we think there'll be a fit. So what we're doing is we have isolated the audio from our Facebook Live session, and that's going to play next. You guys are really going to enjoy this, and please make sure you are subscribing on Apple Podcasts. Make sure you're subscribing to Redskins Talk and leave us reviews. We want to know what you think. If there's anything you want more of, let us know. If there's anything you want less of, let us know. But if you want less of like Tandler's jokes, you're not going to get that because those are funny. Most of them. Some of them are funny. Not occasionally one of them is funny. All right. Enjoy the draft discussion, and I will talk to you afterwards.
A couple clicks is all it takes to pay your bills, to share your thoughts, and now to share a ride. A couple clicks gives you more options to more places for free. Register to ride share today at CommuterConnections.org or 800-745-RIDE. Try our new Carpool Now app too.
Facebook, what is going on? JP Finley here with Rich Tandler. After a very busy weekend for the Washington Redskins in which they selected 10 draft picks.
Yep,
10.
Used them all.
No, they didn't trade out of any spots. It was a busy, busy weekend. We're going to break down every single player in this draft and then give our overall draft grades, which you may have already done. Did you do a story?
Yeah.
Did you draft each player or just?
No, I just kind of did. I do the general overall, you know, not obviously the players had to be involved, but how did they do strategy? How did they do filling needs? You know, I kind of take a different look at it.
Okay. So we are going to get started here. Please send us your questions. We're live on Facebook here. We're live on Twitter over there. Tandler, say hi to everybody so they know.
Hi, Facebook, Twitter.
Very good.
Hey.
We want all your questions. We're going to try to answer as much stuff as we can. Let's start at the bottom and work our way up. What do you think about that?
Sure.
All right. So, seventh round. They took two players in the seventh round. Start with Josh Holsey. Am I saying that right?
Yes.
Cornerback out of Auburn. What are your quick hit thoughts?
Four-year starter at Auburn. I think he, you know, out of these late round guys, you know, there's kind of an opening, potential opening at slot corner. You know, Deshaun Phillips didn't play that. Kendall Fuller, he didn't do anything to nail down that job.
I think Will Blackman moves back inside of the slot corner role. He was good.
If Will was late
in 2015. He was good
Will
late
Will Blackman's around.
Yeah.
The numbers game gets pretty... I tweeted this out. There are 13 defensive backs on the roster, already on the roster, who have NFL playing experience, and then four draft picks. That's 17 defensive backs you have to think are competing for probably 11. A stretch would be 12, but no more than that job.
Well, and I mean, we can count through it. We know Norman, Breland, Fuller, Cravens, Swearinger. That's five. Those are not a question whatsoever.
Right. And I don't think... Moreau, I think Moreau's unless he's on PUP. Now, this is where you start to get,
right.
You know, how's his recovery from that bicep going to go?
Yeah. Well, so here's one thing to look at on Holsey. He was injured. I'm guessing he got a medical red shirt in 2015. And then his stats don't pop, but you're right. He started at Auburn for 4 years. Or it looks like he started the junior and senior year. But he played for 4 years in the SEC, had three picks as a senior. What I think in the seventh round is they got good value. I really like the kid from Louisville. All right, so we'll get. Do you have a grade for Halsey?
I'll go with a B.
Like a B in the seventh round, kind of B?
Yeah, but considering everything, considering the value, considering the kind of player you got, I don't know if he'll be a B NFL player.
Right.
But he's a B seventh round draft pick.
Okay, no argument there, honestly. The next up, Harvey Clemens from Louisville, safety. Clearly, he got into some trouble early in his career at Georgia. And I feel like you got to get into a lot of trouble at Georgia to get thrown off the Georgia football team. But he lands at Louisville and was good for 2 years. I mean, he got conference honors in the ACC both years. He was never first team all ACC, but I think he was honorable mention 1 year and then maybe second or third team. And to me, I think this is a guy that if he can get out on the field on special teams and show that he can make it work there and make some plays as a gunner or whatever, this is a guy that I think he could play more than Monte Nicholson, the fourth round pick.
Well, Nicholson, we'll get to in a little bit, but yeah, I mean, I think he's a C pick. The marijuana problems, you know, you can say all you want about how marijuana laws and marijuana rules in the NFL should be, but they're there. Just ask Trent Williams.
I feel like you and I are on different sides of the marijuana fence.
No, I don't care. I'd be just fine if the NFL didn't test for it. I'm a more of a libertarian when it comes to marijuana.
Okay. You heard it here first, folks.
Yes.
Rich Taylor is a marijuana libertarian.
But the rules are the rules. Until those rules change, they are the rules, the laws, whatever. And if you run afoul of them, you're going to pay the penalty, fair, unfair, or in between. You know it going in.
Fair. So the pot stuff is clearly an issue. It looks like he got past that because there was no suspensions or anything at Louisville.
No, he didn't get caught.
Well, either way. He doesn't have speed. He doesn't have NFL speed to play safety, but he's a big dude, man. Yeah. 6'4", 220. I think...
He'll look good coming off the bus, that's for sure.
He fits the part. He fits the part. I like the pick in the seventh round. This is a guy that made tackles. He 60 tackles last year, 88 in 2015. 2015 was a really good year. Three picks, a sack, 88 tackles, two TFLs, forced a fumble. I think there's value there. But again, it's the seventh round. The odds of these guys making – the odds of a first-round bust are 40%. That's in the first round. So in the seventh round, I don't even know the odds, but they got to be 85%.
Well, you know, I think you can probably look through the seventh round in a given year, and if you have a couple of guys – who became regular starters, that's a lot.
Right. That's a huge contribution.
Yeah. And you're going to probably find half of the guys picking the round never play an NFL game.
Right.
That's just off the top of my head, but that's probably averaged out over a few years.
So here's the thing. We were talking about the corners. We left off Quentin Dunbar, I think, is certainly a roster guy. Deshaun Phillips will be interesting. And then if you look at the safeties, we also – DeShazer Everett, if he made the team last year when there was a serious roster crunch, I think he'll be on the team.
I don't know.
D. Hall,
does he go? Does Blackman make it? You know, those are that'll be interesting if they, you know, if they end up. The versatility of
Blackman's got to help that he can play corner or safety now.
Right.
And the one thing is Blackman was a big McLuhan guy.
Yeah, but if you have
guy.
Six cornerbacks.
Yeah. You know. Right. Blackman was Scott's guy too. I mean, yes. Scott brought him in.
I like.
And he's Blackman. A great guy to talk to. He's a great locker room guy.
But you know, the numbers are going to crunch you.
All right,
no doubt.
Let's go to the sixth round now. Let's see, actually, if we have any questions. We'll take a round by round question. If my computer doesn't freeze. So Steve on Twitter is asking, "What's up, Steve? Chase Napa 24. I'm guessing that's a NASCAR handle because his avatar is
Chase Elliott. Yeah.
Okay, Chase Elliott. Taylor's your guy for NASCAR. When will the search start for a new general manager? Will it be someone in-house?
Yeah.
I'll let you handle the when, but I'll tell you, yes, it's going to be someone in-house. There is not going to be a search.
That seems right. That's exactly what I was going to say. It'll be a very short search, kind of like the Greg Minuski go down the hallway for your defensive coordinator interview. I think it'll be a few guys. Now, I think you might see some kind of, you know, rearranging of things, restructuring responsibilities a little bit. I think Doug Williams, just Scott Campbell, I think, are the two leading candidates. I don't think you can count out Eric Schaefer, which would be a different kind of a choice.
I think it's going to be Doug, but Campbell was really impressive when he talked with us. Scott Campbell did the Redskins pre-draft press conference, and I enjoyed that conversation. He gave us, these guys aren't going to tell you anything about their draft boards or anything else. I mean, there's actual competitive advantage that they won't give up. But he gave us some good nuggets. He was certainly willing to discuss overall strategy.
Process.
Yeah, which I found value in as a reporter, yes. And I think fans and viewers and readers enjoyed, I would guess.
I think everybody there did. He did well.
Yeah. All right, let's take a question from Facebook. And before we go any further, you notice the Marlowe logo here. We want to thank the good folks at Marlowe. Hit them up for your next dresser or couch or Lazy Boy or whatever it is you need. You need a TV stand, Taylor? Do you need a TV stand?
I don't right now, but when I get my bigger TV, I definitely need one.
What are you going up to?
The room I watch
now is
that big. I have 55 now. I don't think I would go up much bigger than 60 or 65. Anything bigger would just overwhelm the room.
So this is, Taylor and I have a, I don't know if barter system's the right thing to do,
right.
But Taylor is like an electronics geek. I think that's safe to say. Like,
yep.
Whatever the new thing is, Taylor buys, and then I try to buy his old stuff off of him. That's how I got my iPad.
No, when they start broadcasting stuff in 4K, that's probably when I'll upgrade.
Can I buy your old 55-inch TV?
Sure.
You know, shout out to, is he still our boss? I don't know what Mike Wargo's job is now.
Our pal.
Is our pal? All right. He's up at NBC now, but he gave me a TV. Did I tell you that?
I won't do that.
He gave me an old television. Now, this was older, but it was flat screen, works great. Okay. So, appreciate it, Wargo. All right. This is a decent question to get us moving into the sixth round.
Okay.
Marcus Momo. I hope I'm saying your name right, Marcus. Marcus wants to know, should they have drafted a true nose tackle in the sixth round?
Yes. I mean, I think so. You know, or the fifth round.
Somewhere
or the seventh round,
in the late round.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
Considering, you know, they don't really have one.
Right.
I wrote about the defensive line, kind of how that's all going to play out. You know, unless Phil Taylor has a career revival.
Phil Taylor is the plan, I'm telling you.
He hasn't played since 2014.
It'll be Ziggy Hood. I think day one at camp, it's going to be Ziggy Hood is who they're counting on. Don't you think?
No.
Who are they counting on?
I don't know. I don't know who they're counting on. I don't think they want
Ziggy Hood played a ton last year.
And you know what? He wasn't any good. I mean, that's not to be fair to him, that's not his spot. I mean, he played it because he had to, but, you know, I don't know.
I mean,
but yes, they should have drafted one.
AJ Francis, Joey Mabu, I mean, those guys are there. those guys are going to work awfully
Matt
hard.
Matt Ioannidis,
man, maybe he has a better season.
Well, he can learn. That's fine. I just don't see him ever really being a good nose tackle.
All right, so we just got one more question. I can't remember when he went. Right, how about this? We'll do at Big Irv 716 on Periscope. Do you think drafting just one offensive lineman was enough in this draft?
Yes, probably. If you believe in Eric Quanjo.
Well, I also think they just locked up Moses. You know, they locked up Morgan
for at least this year, right, and is restricted free.
I think if they weren't able to get that deal done with Morgan before the draft, it could have changed.
Would have
draft
gone into
so
play. So
I think we kind of agree that so let's get to it. We're on to the sixth round, everybody. We'll start with the offensive lineman they drafted, Chase Roullier. Am I saying that right? Roullier?
I'm not sure.
Like Danny
Roullier?
We
didn't ask him on the phone. For some reason, nobody asked him on the phone how to pronounce it.
My favorite nugget about Chase Roullier is that he's from Savage, Minnesota.
That is good.
All right. What I like about him, versatility. He played center this year. He was a guard for 2 years prior to that. Good size. The scouts say he doesn't have long enough arms. That's why he lasted till the sixth round. Not the strongest guy. Samaje Perine put up 11 more. Put up 225, 11 more times. The running back out bench pressed the only drafted offensive lineman. But, you know, strength is very different when you're playing on the line. It's probably more about your legs.
But, you know, he's coming into a situation where there is not a backup center.
Right. There's a job for him.
Because there's a job for him if he can grab it.
Well, and I think you look at the Skins, they really value versatility. Spencer Long came into the league as a guard, is now a center. Brandon Scherff came into the league as a tackle, is now a guard. Morgan.
A guard.
Got a guard. That's one of the great quotes from Jay. One guy hasn't played and one guard. All right, the other pick, we were just talking about this in the newsroom, is Robert Davis, receiver from Georgia State. Give me your thoughts.
You know, he's 6'3", right? He's not.
I'll look him up.
I think we had his height wrong.
Gave
him a couple of inches.
That was my mic.
Oh.
Keep going.
Yeah. But, you know, he tested well at the combine. Now, he went to Georgia State because in high school he only caught 8 passes, not in a game, not in a month. Is an entire high school career. This is what he called us
wild.
On the phone. It was just a straight wishbone offense.
Right.
You know, straight triple option. They just didn't throw. So he couldn't get any, the big guys didn't get, big schools didn't get eyes on him. So he went to Georgia State, set a lot of receiving records there. And
is Georgia, all right, here, if anybody knows the answer to this on Facebook or on Twitter, is Georgia State a big option school too? That's what we were trying to figure out, because his stats from Georgia State don't jump off the page.
Yeah, I don't know how much they
I'm trying to look right now.
How much they threw. So, but, you know, I mean, he's a guy, you know, again, there's a job for him. If you can't, if you can't beat out, what's his name? Ryan Grant. You know, for that last receiver spot, I mean, that's there. Maurice Harris, I think
they love Mo Harris.
I think they do.
They love him.
I don't think he's going to get knocked off, but, you know, you never know.
All right, here, I don't know enough about Georgia State, so I'm confessing. They went 3-9 in the Sun Belt, so I'm not going to dig too
deep. How many pass attempts?
So the starting quarterback, from what I can gather, threw the ball 373 times, and then another guy threw the ball 45 times. So that... 400 pass attempts. They're throwing the ball fairly regularly. Yes. I would not call that, on first glance, I don't think that's an option team.
No.
And so he had 67 catches for 968 yards. Good, nothing great there. But here's what's great about this kid. He popped at the combine. 4.4 speed. He was first in the broad jump amongst receivers. He was second in the vertical and the bench press among the receiver group. So there's a lot to mold here. If you can, he's a heck of an athlete. If you can make him a good football player, if you can make him run good routes, to me, it makes sense to take that guy in the sixth round.
Yes.
He killed it at the combine. It's a position not quite of need, but they need depth, and they will need eventually.
Oh, Yeah, well, you always, you know,
right.
You can't have five or six of them, so you might as well keep one.
So both six-round picks, I think, are B. I think Rullier, because of the positional situation, will be counted on maybe quickly. You never know, injuries or whatever else. But, you know, there's going to be fans that want Chase Rullier to come in and push Sean Laval for a job. I don't see that happening.
No.
All right. Davis, I think, is a good lotto ticket. If it hits, it's great. It's you've got 2 6-round picks. There's not a ton of value on those on the draft pick chart.
Yep.
But
yeah.
I like it. All right.
I like him.
So let's go back to Facebook and answer another question. Oh, this is a perfect Rich Tandler question. It's from our boy Matt Klein. Matt, we appreciate it. You're always with us when we do our Facebook Lives. So I'm going to combine this with Marcus has another question about undrafted free agents making the team. Tandler, give us the roster breakdown right now. Are they at 90? How many guys can they bring in? How many have they brought in?
Okay, well,
you love this stuff.
They had, last Thursday morning, they had 75 players. They drafted 10, so that gives them 85. Now, unlike, they made this change 3 or 4 years ago, maybe. Used to be that a draft pick would not count on your roster limit until he's signed. Now they changed that. As soon as he's drafted, he counts against your roster limit. The roster limit's 90. So they have 85 on there now. So they can sign 5 undrafted free agents before they start cutting somebody. Now, and then after that, it's 1 for 1.
You lost me with all the math, but there's your answer,
yes,
Matt
you
Klein.
Sign, it's 5. They have 5 roster spots to sign guys. They, of course, create more by getting rid of somebody.
Have they signed anybody yet?
Well, you know, there are reports that they have, but, you know, undrafted free agents, I don't really like to talk about until the team announces them because
it's tricky because they can try out. Talk about the tryout process and all that.
Sometimes we hear, hey, you see a guy, you know, a college guy tweet, hey, headed to Redskins Park. You know, well, are you going to sign a contract or are you going for a tryout? You know, tryout, you don't sign a contract, you go, you try out, and they'll have their rookie mini camp starting a week from Friday, May 12th. We'll be there, media will be there the next day on the 13th. And, you know, then they'll offer however many guys contracts after that tried out. So they'll have some guys signed and some guys trying out. Actually, the majority of the people going there will be trying out.
One of the coolest undrafted free agent stories, and I'm sure you know this one, Tandler, is Joe Jacoby. So I don't know if he had a deal in place, but he thought he was going to sign with the Seahawks. The Redskins called, and he's like, you know what? It's a free trip to Washington, D.C. I think Jacoby was from Kentucky. He had never been to D.C. He's like, I'm going to take this trip. And then when he got to D.C., either Gibbs or Beathard or whoever didn't let him leave, and he signed. And he had to call the Seahawks and say, sorry, I'm signing in the other Washington.
Of course, he probably went to the old Redskins Park in Herndon and looking around, where are all these monuments?
Right, yeah, here. Not much out there at the time. Okay, on to the 5th round.
Let's go.
All right. Let's say hi to some of the folks that are watching on Facebook. Dustin, Brian Fernandez, Chris Jackson, John Hardy, Mike Kaplan, Glenn Waldron. Thank you guys for checking us out. And I know we got a bunch of viewers as well on Periscope. Mitch TC34 says, chances of us getting Richardson? I don't even know what Richardson he's talking about.
Oh, from the Sheldon Richardson.
Oh, that's not happening. $8 million bucks.
Yeah.
Not happening.
And it's fully guaranteed, so he has zero incentive to take less. So
not happening.
Not happening.
Not happening unless the Jets agree to absorb a ton of the money. Yeah. Something could happen, but not happening under the current structure.
I mean, are they going to pay $6 million to get back a 4th rounder?
Might as well make him play.
Yeah.
Right. All right. 5th round pick. 1, 2, 3, 4. 5th. Jeremy, do you know that reference at all?
No.
Come on, man. Chappelle Show?
Never watched Chappelle.
You never watched Chappelle Show?
No.
Dude. So when Charlie Murphy died last month, you didn't get any of those references?
Who's Charlie Murphy?
Oh, my God, Tandler. Ugh. Dude, you would like Chappelle Show. It's hysterical.
Okay.
And Charlie Murphy's Eddie Murphy's brother.
Okay. Ugh. I like Eddie Murphy.
What am I going to do with you, dude?
I don't know.
You've never... All right. We're going to try to move on here, folks. In the 5th round.
Yes.
In the 5th round, the Redskins took Jeremy Sprinkle, who, of course, is most famous
for...
I like that. It's for shoplifting at the Belk Bowl. He made a very dumb decision. It, you know, sadly, his dumb decision at 22 became national news and really a national joke. I did a lot of dumb stuff at 22, Tanner, when you were 22.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. It happens. Shouldn't derail this kid's career. I'm glad he's got a chance here. How was he on the phone? I was at FedEx when
he
made the
pick. He was good, you know, and he said he's apologetic and, you know, trying to, you know, wants to do what he has to do to get this situation, make that right. But he's, you know, he can be a guy, you know, for the last couple of years, two or three years, they've been using, when they needed a third tight end, they used Ty Insecki.
Yep.
They used
Tom
Thompson.
They like that jumbo package.
I know, but you know what?
They haven't had the guy.
It leaves you with four eligible receivers on the field.
You don't like that package.
I hate it.
Right.
It's fine. You know, that's good. You get some good blocking, but it makes it so easy to defend the pass when you've got seven pass defenders and four guys to worry about. It's crazy. So, yeah, if you can get a guy out there who can block, who can be a threat to catch a pass,
let's talk about this guy a little bit. He's huge. He's a monster. 6'6", they got it listed on College Football Reference. 6'6", 256. The stats at Arkansas don't pop, but Arkansas is a run-first team that, for this guy to have nearly 400 yards 2 years in a row, kind of says a lot.
Yeah.
And he's a great blocker. Jordan Reed, not a great blocker. Vernon Davis can be a good blocker. I think he's better than Reed.
That's saying almost.
But both of those guys are so good that the only real downside I see to the Jeremy Sprinkle pick is what it likely means for Niles Paul.
Yeah.
Last year we knew they weren't going to keep four tight ends. We saw Logan Paulson get released. This year, they're not going to keep four tight ends. I mean, maybe because of the injury history with Jordan Reed, you keep four if you really like Niles. But
maybe
danger,
go with three running backs or something.
Right, but Niles stands to make $2 million this year.
Right.
And has played eight games in the last two seasons. So, Niles is a great locker room guy. He works out like crazy. I think the team will try to keep him around, but I do think Jeremy Sprinkle is going to make that roster decision at least interesting.
Right, no doubt.
We were getting some questions about what veterans could be on the block, and I think Niles is firmly one after this pick.
Yeah, I would say he's probably top of the list.
Yeah,
with Matt Jones, and not on that list, people, is Sean Laval. He's not going anywhere.
How many minutes are we? how many minutes in are we? Anybody? Bueller?
About 20, 30 minutes.
So we are, we'll call it 20 minutes and you got your Matt Jones shot in. I can't have a conversation with you without talking about Matt Jones.
Well.
He's your pet project.
Yeah, well, he's not anymore. He had his chance. I admit, he had his chance. He's blown it.
All right, let's go to the fourth round then, because this is a good natural segue. Samaje Perine, what do you think?
Good pick. I think he is that, he can be, has the potential to be that power back that they haven't had.
49 touchdowns in three seasons at Oklahoma, and he was the strongest running back in the draft. This should, who knows if it will, but it should really help on the goal line, help in the red zone.
Yeah, because they haven't had a guy. I mean, it really, you know, Jones has the size, but he didn't have the...
He doesn't play like
that.
Didn't
know where to go. He doesn't play like it, you know.
Jones,
they say looks like Tarzan, plays like Jane.
Right. Jones was good at lowering his shoulder in the open field when maybe you should look to make a move and get past the guy. But in the backfield, Jones was not a lower your shoulder guy.
No.
And at the line of scrimmage.
And drive for that yard or two.
I mean, think about this. Perine is 5'10", 235, and bench pressed 225 30 times. Chris Thompson, for comparison, I think is 5'10", 195.
Yeah.
I mean, Christian McCaffrey, who everybody was drooling over, was 5'11", 200. So this guy's got 30 pounds of muscle on a one-inch shorter frame. That's a strong dude.
Yes.
And, you know, clearly the timeshare there with Joe Mixon was an interesting situation. But when he was the bell cow as a freshman, 1,700 yards. Now, Oklahoma runs it up, and they're playing the spread. And, you know,
and they're playing in the Big 12.
Right. I mean, he broke the record against Kansas. Kansas is terrible, but he had 427 yards in a game. That's nuts.
I don't think you could do that against air.
I don't think you and I could do it.
Just taking hands off.
Right.
Handoffs in the scrimmage against no defense.
I think that's really a big value pick. I wonder what would have happened in the second round on Friday night if Joe Mixon was there. You know, he went right before to Cincinnati.
I have heard that it was a non-starter.
Well, and if you look at the rest of this draft, I mean, Caleb Brantley was available late, and that's a guy you and I both know they liked prior to his legal situation. Okay, so to me, Samaje Perine to start the fourth round, that's an A pick.
I would say it's an A pick.
Okay. The other side of the fourth round, however, has a lot more question marks. Monte Nicholson. I don't know if everybody here has read Moneyball, but I immediately thought of the opening pages of Moneyball. Billy Beane describes when he's being scouted coming out of high school, that he looked the part. He was big, he was strong, he could throw, he could hit BP, and he knew that he wasn't worth where he was going in the draft. And to me, Monte Nicholson, I'm not saying that in the fourth round is too much of a reach, because maybe he goes fifth, sixth, who knows. But this is a guy that's big and strong and fast and looks like an NFL safety, looks like he's really going to help you. But when you're a safety and tackling is your biggest question mark, that's going to knock your draft grade.
That's a problem, yeah.
Right.
And, you know, he just really didn't, you know, live up to what they – I think he was a 4- or 5-star recruit out of high school.
Right.
You know, all that.
On the track team at Michigan State. Yep. I mean, big-time talent. Big-time talent and just never put it all together on the field. But what I found interesting is by them taking him in the fourth round – somebody in the building, somebody in Ashburn loves him and really thinks they can make it work. Now, whether that's a coach, a scout, somebody in the front office.
Well, and then you have to be able to persuade everybody else that that's worth it.
To me, somebody was screaming on the table for this kid, right?
Yeah.
How else he goes in the fourth round without somebody really advocating for him? So maybe that one person can get to him and... if he can play, there's value in the fourth round because of all his physical gifts.
Yep.
You wonder how Sparty kind of fell apart this year, and then you consider the questions about Malik McDowell, Monte Nicholson. These guys were supposed to be stars for them defensively.
Yeah,
they both had a bad year.
Yeah.
Right. So maybe it just the message wasn't getting heard in East Lansing in 2016, and the message could be heard. But giving that grade, I mean, you're looking at a C- to me.
I'm not hesitant to give it a D.
Well, you're a harder grader is what you like to say.
I am.
If there were college kids lining up for classes, they want my class instead of your class. All right, so let's take a couple more questions.
But there have to be some Ds, don't there? I mean, everything can't be an ABC because C is supposed to be average, so you have to have some D below average.
I guess, man. I don't know. D's, did you ever get a D? Getting a D sucks. I got a few of them.
Oh, I know, but if you don't know the stuff.
Yeah, man, yeah. I don't know. I didn't like getting D's.
Well, I know you don't, but this it's not a fair world.
All right, here's a fun question from Brian Fernandez on Facebook. If McCaffrey was there at 17, would they have drafted him over John Allen? I say no. But I don't know. That's my guess. I'm not reporting that. I never saw the draft board.
No, I think, you know, they're one. I don't want to say they'll really regret taking Jonathan Allen, but I think they did want an edge rusher there. And so the fact that there was a good edge rusher there in the second round, I think wait a second. It's 17 in the first round.
I'm saying if McCaffrey makes it to 17, this
okay,
is the
I
question.
Thought you're talking about, okay, I thought you were talking about Anderson.
No. If McCaffrey makes it to 17 and he's on the board and John Allen's on the board, I think they're taking Allen.
Not thinking twice about it.
Allen over McCaffrey, you're saying?
Right.
Okay. I think they'd think twice. They really liked McCaffrey, as the whole NFL did. All right, let's do another question. I've been getting this a lot on Twitter. Twitter, what's up? Brandon Jefferson, what's up with Keith Marshall? Keith Marshall doesn't play. He didn't play last year for the Skins. He didn't play in college at Georgia. I know he has crazy speed, but I think fans need to kind of let the Keith Marshall vision go. I don't see him making the roster.
Well, yeah, he was a long shot before the draft.
Thompson, Kelly, Piron, I think, are pretty clear.
Yeah.
And
they'd take Mac Brown.
I think Mac Brown, Matt Jones, maybe. Like, yeah. I mean, so that
and he's way, way back.
Keith Marshall's sixth on an imaginary depth chart.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if he gets healthy and, you know, can do something in OTAs, well, then maybe start the conversation. But until then, until he does something. Let's wait till he does something, and then we'll talk about him.
When do we get to go out there for OTAs?
Soon, right?
2 weeks?
Well, later, no. Rookie camp's in like 2 weeks. And then
okay.
It's like late, towards the end of May, last week of May, and then a couple weeks in June.
So here's another one. Matthew Ryan Silverhorn. This is his list of veterans that could be cut. Jones, Paul, Grant, Laval. I think you're right on Jones. I think you're right on Niles. Ryan Grant's going to be interesting. Coaching staff really likes Ryan Grant. So
yeah.
Deal with it.
I think he could go. Now, I think he could go. I think Grant and Laval aren't going anywhere until training camp.
I agree. That's the one I wanted to get to was Laval. I think he's your starting left guard, unless somebody else gets cut and there's a different pickup.
You can get him
Ari shows a lot between now and then.
Put it this way. You're not going to pay him $4 million as a backup.
Right. If they think they can get enough out of Kwanjo, is the only way to me they cut Laval.
Right. Or I think more likely than that, if he's gonna be a backup, they might talk about cutting that salary
contract
in half.
Rework, yeah. Which would be interesting if he does it, because you know people are going to need guards with NFL experience.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to make $4 million.
Yeah.
On the open market.
True, true. All right, we are on to the third round. So the fourth round to me was the biggest disparity in picks. Yeah. I think they got so much value in Piron, and I think they really left the door open for a lot of questions on Nicholson. Third round, I think you can question this one a little too. I think Moreau could be a really good player. By all accounts, he was a fringe first, maybe early second round kind of guy. Talk about bad luck. I mean, to get hurt at your pro day.
Hey, listen. Any defensive backs, running backs, don't. What are you going to gain by doing the bench press at your pro day? What is that going to do for your draft status?
If you didn't do it at the combine.
Screw the bench press.
See, incorrect.
If you're a defensive back.
All right, but you said and running backs, because the bench press certainly helped Piron.
I don't know. It's the tape. How well did he run? How good
it's
did
the
he
tape?
Look?
Why'd they draft Robert Davis if it's only the tape?
But he gained 900 yards. I mean, his tape must not have been that bad.
The combine and the measurables matter.
That's not what Scott Campbell said.
No, he said the tape matters more.
Right.
But that doesn't mean it doesn't matter.
Okay, are you seriously going to draft a cornerback based on his bench press?
You can be impressed by how strong they are.
Does that show that helped
with Samaje Perine.
Okay, but it certainly didn't. Okay, defensive back, what's the risk reward?
If you want to make this a greater question about should these guys even have to go through all these drills and hoops in the pre-draft process, that's an entirely different debate.
McCaffrey and Fournette sat at their bowl games. How much did that? And McCaffrey refused to do any workouts.
I think more of those guys will start doing that. And I think it's fair. But I think it's silly to isolate the bench press as the culprit in all of this. I think it was just a terrible circumstance. Right, but football players bench press all the time. That's an actual thing football players do.
It could have happened anywhere, but that's
bad luck, man.
Isolating the bench press
is not the problem. You want to change the pre-draft structure? I get it, and I would support that. But your argument against the bench press seems silly.
But that's where it might be silly, but it's also where he hurt himself.
All right, but other guys get hurt. They blow out their Achilles doing the cone drills. So you want the cone drills gone?
Yes. So cone drills are stupid. If you draft somebody based on a cone drill,
we're going in circles here.
You're stupid.
So you want to scrap... I agree with you.
I like, you know, the 40, you know, you can tear your Achilles, you know, doing all that other stuff they do in the field.
You probably tear your Achilles mowing the lawn, man.
Yeah. Sonny Jurgensen did it, you know, stepping in a hole at Yankee Stadium.
Right. I thought that was Joe DiMaggio.
I don't know if Sonny did.
Somebody got hurt.
Oh, yeah. No, Mantle got a broken leg in a hole at Yankee Stadium.
Right. Yankee Stadium needs to work on their turf in the 50s or whatever.
Well, they're using it too much.
Yeah. All right. I don't even know what we just talked about, frankly.
Okay.
Let's get to Moreau. Let's get. All right. So the Moreau pick to me is a B.
Yeah, I'd say it's a B.
Maybe a B minus.
I would trend it more up.
Okay. Well, and if he's healthy, depending on when he's ready to go, he could step in and play pretty quickly, I think. They tried it with Kendall Fuller last year. I think Moreau could get similar opportunities, especially if he can play in the slot.
Right.
Or if he comes out and is really impressive, that Breland's good in the slot. And you know, if you like Moreau a lot and you got he and Norman on opposite sides and maybe Breland in the slot, I think your defense is way better.
And Breland, 2018 hot take right here, I don't think Breland's back.
I mean, they've kind of drafted his replacement 2 years in a row.
Yes.
So it might not be anything to do with Breland. It just might be a money thing. And that's what this team says they want to do, is develop from within. And when they have guys they like that are headed to a contract year, they typically get a deal done. We just saw it with Morgan Moses. We've seen it with Trent Williams. We've seen it with Ryan Kerrigan. I mean, that's
Jordan Reed.
Jordan Reed. They get these deals done a year out, which is smart business. Maybe. Like, if I had to wager on it, I think you might be right. I don't know that I can wager on that, though. all right. I think the first two rounds are both A's, maybe A pluses in the case of Jonathan Allen. We'll start with Ryan Anderson. I think the only reason he lasts until the 49th pick is he's not an explosive athlete. He's not a fast twitch, that kind of stuff you hear.
He didn't do well at the combine. Oh, my goodness.
Dude, I'm not a combine guy. I don't know how you're coming at me with the combine.
I'm not coming at you. You happen to be the person I'm talking with. There, out there, whoever thinks the combine's a big deal, it's not.
It's not no deal either.
You're looking. I know, but it's not.
Regardless,
you know,
his quotes about the combine are great.
I'll take Scott McLuhan about running around in your underwear, how much, what value that really has, and I'll stand on those.
Ryan Anderson is a direct McLuhan pick. When you look at the influence Scott had on this draft board, I think Jonathan Allen at 17 was such a no-brainer that Taylor and I could have made that pick.
Yeah.
I think Ryan Anderson at 49, Scott was smiling somewhere because that was probably his kind of guy. And just I've now talked to Anderson twice in the couple days since he's been with the Redskins, and I got to meet him in person. You guys should watch that video. It's on my Twitter feed. Players are going to love this guy, and he's not going to be great with the media all the time. You can tell that, but he's honest, and he's funny, and all he wants to do is kick somebody's butt on the football field.
Yeah, Jay Gruden said, you know, talked about his attitude and the way he likes to play and everything, and he said, and it might rub up on some people. Wonder who he might be talking about, Preston Smith.
Yeah.
Smith is probably much more talented athletically than Ryan Anderson is, but you know, he's just kind of a laid back, you know, good, nice, great, good Southern guy, and the coaches have tried to rile him up for 2 years. They've been trying to you know get him
rattle
that
cage.
Nasty streak, rattle his cage. They really haven't been able to do it. So maybe you bring in somebody from another SEC school, a guy who I guess he competed against, not on the field at the
right,
same time.
Right, right, right.
He certainly has seen him play. Bring him in, and maybe that'll give him a jolt. Because I tell you what, this team, you know, they could have, you know, they have, what, six now?
That, I mean, that's
potential
the thing.
Potential double-digit sack guys?
So,
potential.
Kerrigan, Murphy. You counting Gallette?
Counting Gallette.
Gallette.
Smith.
Preston Smith, Allen, and Anderson?
Yeah.
I don't think they all get the double digits.
No,
that'd be a lot.
But it's potential. It's
right.
Somebody who either has in their career or at some time in their career can do it.
I do think the first two picks, Allen and Anderson, are going to push Preston for playing time immediately. We saw Trent pushing him for playing time last season. I think we see more of Preston Smith at D end than we do of him at OLB going forward. And like you said, maybe this is the motivation to get. It's tough because Preston's a good guy. It's not like he doesn't take plays off. It's just you see sometimes when he's fully engaged that his best is really, really – his best may be the best pass-rushing guy on that team.
Yes.
But you don't see it every snap like you do with Ryan Kerrigan, like I think you're going to see with Ryan Anderson.
Yeah.
To me, Ryan Anderson is a lot like Kerrigan and Trent Murphy. Just super, super engaged, will never stop working on the field, and just goes all out every snap.
Yep.
And Bruce loves those guys. Yeah. Most talent
do.
Scouts would like that. Right, for
most.
Sure. And then, all right, so we're saying A on Ryan Anderson?
Yeah.
I think that's an A. And then John Allen at 17. I mean, I wrote about this a couple days before the draft as the talk started to become.
I thought he was wasting his time.
Taylor definitely told me not to write it, but I'm glad I wrote it. But the line that stuck with me is I said the Redskins should not walk, not jog, not run. They should sprint to the podium to take John Allen if he's there at 17. And Jay Gruden basically said, he's like, man, we didn't have any debate on the pick. We just called to see if anybody was going to try to trade up.
Yeah, do something crazy.
You never know. I mean, but all the quarterbacks were kind of off the board already between the three real first rounders. So it would have to be something dumb. But A plus. To me, John Allen at 17 is a very, very rare situation of best player fitting with a need, and it's a home run.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the only thing, and I'll agree on the grade, I just wonder, you know, how much of a gamble were they taking, though, in waiting? You know, I was thinking.
Well, and I wonder if they take Reuben Foster.
Throw out a fourth round, you know, he seems like a perfect Raven. To me.
Oh, for Ozzie to take.
For Ozzie
to take Allen
right
or
at 16, yeah. It's 16.
I think because Foster was on the board there too, made it a little easier to not. I think when Malik Hooker went at 15, is that right?
Yep.
They knew they were gonna get, to me, Hooker, Foster, and Allen were elite talents after Myles Garrett.
I don't know how big they were on Hooker though.
I think he had one year.
Oh,
the JP tape that I've watched.
Okay. You know, just
that
1 year.
Kid's a star.
Great trait. Great tape, but.
That kid's a star.
Played one year.
He's Ed Reed to me.
Okay.
But regardless, you know, we talked about this, that I was saying if Allen gets to 14, I don't think it'd be crazy if the Skins moved up to go get him. You don't want to let that guy go at 15 and regret it. You got to credit the Skins brass, starting with Bruce. Schaefer, Santos, Campbell, Doug Williams, Jay, Gruden. You got to credit all those guys. They were patient, waited, got their guy. I mean, throughout the draft, that's what they did. If you look at 49, patient, waited, got their guy. Fourth round, Samaje Perine.
Yeah, instead of grabbing a Devin Cook or somebody
right.
like that.
How do you rate, like making a move for Dalvin Cook
right.
or whoever. How do you rate their draft overall?
I gave it a B. A B plus, I think, just for the whole, you know, I think Allen, again, I think, I'm not sure how much credit they deserve for that because it just.
Right. You and I could make that pick.
Right. We could make that pick. Didn't like neither of us liked Monte Nicholson.
Right.
That was a reach, but, you know, I think a nose tackle, I think, you know, come on, guys. At some point. You got to do it. If you're going to run this 3-4 defense, you've got
to
do it.
So the couple things going into the draft that we kept getting questions about on Facebook and Twitter and just, you know, comments on our stories on CSN Mid-Atlantic were running back, nose tackle, and quarterback. And I was saying for a few weeks leading up to the draft that I didn't think they'd take a quarterback. I've since written about it. I know Scott McLuhan really believed in Nate Sudfeld. I believe the current organization believes in Nate Sudfeld and his possible development. I think maybe next year you would take a quarterback after you have Nate in the system for 2 years and kind of know what you have at that point. There was also, you know, now there's a report that they wanted C.J. Beathard, but the Niners took C.J. Beathard. To me, of course they wanted C.J. Beathard. His grandfather's in the Redskins Ring of Fame. That just is too easy to say they wanted him. I think certainly they wanted him, but, you know, they didn't make the necessary move to go get him either, and they passed him a few different times.
He went late third. I think that was that.
Maybe they thought they could get him with one of the two fourth round picks.
I don't know. I'm just thinking they might be able to get him with a fifth round pick.
Right, and watching him, he seems good, but he's not a particularly enticing prospect. I don't think.
No.
But there was talk about Nate Peterman. There was talk about. Quarterbacks. I didn't think if they wanted Brad Kaya, if they wanted a quarterback, Brad Kaya went in the sixth round.
Sixth, yes.
They could have gotten a quarterback. I think, to me, I see that as belief in Sudfeld and the quarterbacks on the roster. Running back early, I just didn't see it. I thought they were going to go defense. I expected edge rusher at 17. Obviously, when Allen's there, it's a slam dunk. And then the other one, nose tackle. Jay Gruden's comments in Arizona at the league meetings, I found very telling on a nose tackle. So if they had taken somebody in the 5th, 6th, 7th round, sure, that would have made sense. But Jay truly believes that Jim Tomsula is going to develop a nose tackle, a starting caliber nose tackle out of the guys on the team. Whether or not fans agree, that's a different conversation. But
wish upon a star.
You got to
get a guy. I mean, this team, the last 2 years, has averaged giving up over 5 yards a carry on first down. You know, that's when you have your nose tackle. That's when you think, okay, they're probably going to run. Worst in the league both years, by far.
You know, they've never addressed the position since they went to the 3-4 base defense. It's pretty remarkable.
Not really, yes.
I mean, pot roast for a year.
Okay. Barry Cofield, who was not really that size, he did an okay job for a couple of years. But no, they have not really gotten that guy.
Everyone that's watched this team knows it's a need, right? But third downs, to me, were the bigger need, and I think that's why you go Allen Anderson.
Well, you know why they stunk on third down? Because when you're giving up 5 yards of carry,
right,
you've got second and five.
46% of opponents' third downs they converted for first downs. That's remarkably bad.
Yes.
And what's crazy is you and I can probably sit here and list off five of them that were third and 19 in Chicago?
Yeah.
I mean,
to Matt Barkley.
Yeah. all right, but that is the whole draft. So your overall grade was a B+.
Yep.
I think B+ is right, just because I'll give him an A-, just because the Allen pick is so good. They did really well. Kind of splitting hairs. They had a really good draft, and I think fans. I know that fans were upset when Scott McLuhan was fired, and rightfully so. I think the way that was handled was shoddy. It was
shoddy. You're giving shoddy a bad name.
it was almost unseemly.
It was
terrible. If you got to make that move, make the move. Don't let somebody dangle. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you have to fire somebody. I used to run a bar and had to fire a waitress, and you just got to do it. It sucks, but she was stealing, so what are you going to do? But you can't let somebody just dangle in the wind. And they did that for far too long. But you get past what happened with Scott. It's been a very good offseason for the Redskins. I think a couple one-year deals, which are maybe questionable, but Pryor and Brown signings are really good for this team. They're both good players. It should have an immediate impact. They're not on the hook for a lot of money. You and I disagree a bit on the Swearinger signing. I like it a lot. I think you kind of
like it. But, yeah.
The guys they had, I think we all would have been screaming about the defensive line until the Jonathan Allen pick.
Right, yeah. McClain and McGee were not really the impact. I mean, I think they'll be okay. They'll fill roles.
Right. Maybe McGee can be a nose tackle, too.
Snaps.
I mean, you never know. But I think getting John Allen really solidifies this as a very solid offseason for the Redskins. And I think they could be better in 2017 than they were in 2016.
Well, you know, it's the problem, I think, you know, looking down. And, you know, I mean, they'll find a general manager, but whoever. But I think, you know, that the good thing about McLuhan was, I think, the long term, you know, and keeping it, you know, keeping things going and just keep on adding good football players and kind of that are with the same drafting philosophy year in and year out. Okay, now he's gone, so, you know, they're going to do things different. Everybody has their own, you know, do you go for speed or do you go for size? Do you go for combine numbers? You go for, you know, how
Spark.
You're worried about, yeah, whatever. I mean, it can be all over the, I mean, this team, within the Shanahan era, they wanted big defensive backs, and they wanted fast defensive backs, and then they wanted, you know, longer ones.
And they didn't want big D linemen.
Yeah.
Or O linemen. They valued quick over everything.
They valued, you know, your Corey Lichtensteigers, who were cheap and could get the could get the job done.
Real quick, Mike Holmes, Mayock's not happening.
No, I'd be fun, but no.
All right. The giant elephant in the room is Kirk Cousins. I think there will be some momentum towards an actual deal in early July. I don't know that they'll get a deal done, but I think a legit offer gets put on the table.
Well, what are they waiting for? For one thing, what's going to be different then?
I mean, it's a deadline league, man. That's when deals get done.
But, I mean, now that the draft is over, you know, kind of the quarterbacks are set around the league. The only thing that could happen is Matt Stafford could sign a new deal.
Carr could get a new deal.
And Ryan is the other one that's up that could kind of raise that bar a little bit. But I still think they're going to play it out until 2018.
I think Kirk has 32 more starts with this team. Easily. Not easily, but maybe more. But I think he 100% plays this year. And I think they're going to tag him again in 2018. And maybe they go non-exclusive, let him hit the market, negotiate. But
well, you got to go transition. You can't tag him for $34 million.
This time last year we would have said you can't tag him for $24 million.
No, I didn't say that because the cap was going up. The cap's not going up enough to cover that.
I don't know, man.
And it's just not a value. Now, you know, if they make it to the NFC Championship game, different story. If they either don't make the playoffs, go one and done in the playoffs, you know, I don't see going $30+ million for Kirk Cousins. You do the transition tag, you know, which could lead to a long-term contract.
Here's the thing, is if you do non-exclusive franchise and he goes out to the marketplace, other teams, he can agree to an offer sheet that doesn't have him at 34 to start because he knows he's not going to get that over time.
Well, but why wouldn't he just
play on the
1 year?
Why
would he just play on the 1 year and get the $34 million?
Yeah.
He could play on the $28 million transition tag. He could not solicit offers, sign that, and then be a true. They'd be out of tags in 2019. They couldn't tag him anymore. But I think they're going to play it out because see now, you have that his value kind of being artificially pumped up by this year's and next year's tags. When you don't have another tag coming, it gets down to market value and what he's actually worth, which I think is a lot. I don't have a problem paying the guy a lot of money, but I think the Redskins don't want to pay based on this pumped up franchise tag value. I think they want to pay based. I think they'll pay him, and hey, if that's $25 million a year, that's $25 million a year, and I think they'll do it. But I don't think they want to pay that if he goes. You know, if they think he could go out in the free agent market and get $20 million
a year. Yeah, it's true. All right. Tell everybody where to find you on the internet.
Where to find me? Let's go to Facebook. Been getting a lot going on Facebook lately.
Good.
We're starting up again. It's facebook.com/TandlerCSN. And Twitter. Hi, Twitter. You're still there, I hope.
Hi, Twitter.
Rich_TandlerCSN.
People are still there. All right. We want to thank Marlo very much. We always enjoy doing Facebook Lives brought to you by Marlo. They are great. You should go buy a couch or a chair or Tandler's new TV.
And tell them we sent you.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell them Tandler sent you. Thank you guys very much for watching. Hit us up on social. We are all over the place. And please read all our stuff, csnmidatlantic.com.
Hey, great. Had a lot of people reading our stuff over
there. Yeah, our traffic over the weekend was remarkable.
Yes.
So we appreciate everybody reading our stuff, and we really tried to get a lot of draft coverage out there for you. So until next time, thanks very much, guys.
A couple clicks is all it takes to pay your bills, to share your thoughts, and now to share a ride. A couple clicks gives you more options to more places for free. Register to rideshare today at commuterconnections.org or 800-745-RIDE. Try our new Carpool Now app, too.
Okay, that's it. So Tandler says B+, I say A-. Regardless, the Redskins had a very good draft in 2017. The front office, starting with Bruce Allen, Alex Santos, Eric Schaefer, Scott Campbell, Doug Williams, Jay Gruden is a prominent role. All those guys deserve to be commended. I really think starting with Allen and then Anderson in the second is going to give them instant impact in the front seven where they really, really need it. I think Moreau could be a good player. Pirine, I think, could really help them, especially in the red zone and on the goal line. That was a fun conversation. If you made it this far, I definitely owe you a beer because that was a long one. But there were 10 picks to go over, so I think we gave it the length it deserved. I want to thank the folks at Commuter Connections. They're always our squad. Couple clicks is all it takes to share a ride to work when you want, where you want, for free. CommuterConnections.org, 800-745-RIDE, and Carpool Now is their app. All one word, Carpool Now. A little bit of housekeeping. We need you guys subscribing, downloading to the podcast, whatever device, whatever mechanism you use to listen, whether that's Google Play or Stitcher or Audio Boom or Apple Podcasts, whatever it is you're listening to, we need you subscribing, and we want reviews. Tell us what you think. Even if you want to make fun of us a little, that's cool too. Be sure to follow us all on social media as well. I am JP Finley CSN on Twitter, and I am facebook.com/JP Finley CSN on Facebook. I'm also on Snapchat. I have no idea how to tell you to follow me. I think I'm JP Finley 3 on Snapchat, and I'm JP Finley 3 on Instagram. Those pictures tend to be more of like me and my family, but what the heck? If you want to see them, let's do it. It's going to be a little light for the next few weeks. We got rookie camp and then OTAs later in May, but we are going to have a ton of content on csnmidatlantic.com for engaged Redskins fans to read and discuss. And you can always comment on the stories on our site or hit us up on social. We're happy to discuss stuff. I enjoy going back and forth with fans. I think it's a lot of fun. I try to respond to just about everything. You know, it's tough on like the draft that night. There's so much going on. I'm not able to respond as much on Twitter, but you know, a regular Wednesday afternoon, let's talk. It's fun. Thank you guys very much for listening and subscribing and giving us reviews. Talk to you soon.
I owe you a beer.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.